Who is the Florida man? What does he want from us? What laws created him, and do any govern him? Does South Carolina want a piece of the action? Am I sitting in a hotel room closet recording this in Florida? I'm Gavin Jackson, host of the South Carolina Lead, and ever since we started adding our Florida Man news in Quorum Call, these deep, fundamental questions began haunting me. As a journalist, I needed answers to these dark questions at whatever the cost. This week's episode is a departure from our normal, dare I say, safe programming.
Why are you getting so intense? We're in Orlando for a week.
That's A.T. Shire, the lead's producer. And he's right. We just got back from Podcast Movement in Orlando. It was a perfect reason for us to dedicate an entire episode to the tragic hero known as Florida Man. Some facts about Florida versus our beloved Palmetto State. Florida has a population more than four times that of South Carolina. It's older, whiter, richer, and slightly more educated than us. Woof. But those Florida Man headlines, we got them there. Sure, we have our fair share of crazy headlines, every state does, but Florida seems to have the monopoly, and there is a reason for that, which we'll explore later. So sure, there are numbers, data and data, whatever, metrics and numerical values that the quote-unquote scientists and mainstream media want you to believe. But I'm more of a wild spirit. Any dedicated leader knows this about me. So I needed to speak with a real person. And it just so happens that I know a guy who I worked with in Florence, a native Charlestonian who has lived in Orlando now for 5 years. We'll call him Brian, because that's his real name. Like I said, we're in Orlando, so our research department, AT, found some more authentic local places for us to check out. We're in a nice local neighborhood bar called The Falcon. Has a lot of shiny memorabilia if you love that movie, we all do. Local art and sake shots with your happy hour drink. Side note, Orlando is home to some great happy hour specials. Come on, South Carolina, where you at? Anyhow, Bar Gavin, take it away. So I'm sitting here with an old friend, Brian Jacoby Wilder.
Oh, we're friends?
Old friends.
Okay.
Co-workers.
There we go.
Facebook friends. So give us like the background. Like, you were born and raised in Charleston, went to school in Charleston. Give me that.
So I was born in Puerto Rico.
Oh.
Yeah. We left right on the heels of Hurricane Hugo. And then we moved to Charleston. And I don't remember much from it. And then we lived overseas for about 8 to 10 years. Mm. And then I moved back to Charleston in 99. So, yeah, I've kind of been all over.
Mm-hmm. And what's Florida been like? I mean, you're all over for a while before this.
Right.
You live, you know, you identify as a Charlestonian, not as a South Carolinian.
Yes.
You've been here for 5 years
right.
now. You've acclimatized. You've lost your smugness. How would you describe a Florida man? Obviously, we're saying not every Floridian is a Florida man, but
right.
every Florida man is a Floridian.
Right. So I think I would even go as far as to say Florida man is not relegated by location. Mm. It's more of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a spirit animal, so to speak. Like any, it's like tiger blood, you know? It like you can have the feeling of the Florida man in you, even if you live in Albuquerque, you know? Mm. Especially if you live in Albuquerque.
Watch out, Albuquerque. We're pulling no punches with Albuquerque.
But yeah, I mean, a Florida man is just kind of like those instances or the person behind those instances that has this very devil may care. I kind of live by my own rules, my own kind of mantra, my own way of life. And, you know, I might clash with, you know, societal norms more often than not. But
laws, norms,
laws,
et cetera,
norms,
et cetera.
Tomato, tomato. But, it you know, it's I live life to the fullest, so much so that I tend to garner the headline or two.
Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, have you experienced one of these illustrious Florida men or women?
Oh, man, have I? Yeah, I've experienced my fair share. I think I may have even been one.
Oh,
one,
my goodness.
One interesting night.
Oh, my God.
That I might withhold some details from.
Certainly. I mean, I've been one. Many.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in situations where we've seen men, naked men, just run out of gas station bathrooms. screaming incoherently. I mean, and that's just one of those things that kind of happens. I mean, have you ever been to a family reunion in South Carolina? That happens at least once or twice.
So a lot of comparisons as I'm hearing. Then we're not.
I told you, it's not limited to just a region. There's some sort of geographical demarcation. Like anybody could be a Florida man.
All of us.
It really is. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, as far as like specific examples, yeah, like that's one of those things. And I guess I've been here long enough to where it almost feels common.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you live in New York or something like that, everybody has a, you know, crazy subway story. You know, everybody has the, you know, that person screaming incoherently at you on the corner, you know, kind of experience. And I think Florida is just one of those rare situations where they kind of like stand up at it. It's like, yeah, it's one of those things that kind of make Florida, Florida. Like, you can talk all the smack you want to about it, but you still are going to put those Mickey ears on and make that trek down to Disney, you know?
Yeah.
You're still going to go to Miami for Art Basel. Like, you're still going to do all the things that Florida has been known for years and years. So, yeah.
Brian's a hip cat, but he's still a new guy living in a cool part of downtown Florida. Not quite the most fertile Florida man ground, if you know what I mean. So we got our research department, me, on the case, and a cursory Google search discovered that there is a Florida Men podcast. They are experts, because there's a podcast for everything. I believe that's Rule 34 or something.
My name is Joel, and I am the co-host of Florida Men, the podcast.
And I'm Phil. I am the other co-host of Florida Men, the podcast.
What makes you guys experts on this topic of our times, essentially? How'd you guys get to become podcast experts on Florida Man?
Well, it's a lot like the ancient astronaut physicist. There is no, you know, no school to go to or who proclaims them as the experts in ancient astronaut physicists. So we figured we would proclaim ourselves as the experts of the Florida Man.
Well, and I asked Florida Man if we could be the official podcast of Florida Man, and he said, yeah, that's cool.
Did he sign anything? Can
no,
we get rights to that?
No, it's just a verbal agreement.
Damn
so.
It.
Incredible answer so far.
Okay.
Is there a first story that really piqued your guys' interest that said, hey, we have to do this podcast. We have to start keeping up with all these different crazy stories that are coming out of our state right now?
Yeah, the one that was in one of our first shows. Florida man throws an alligator through a Wendy's drive-thru window. And that's basically the gist of the story. But yeah, that's the crazy stuff that that happens down here. And it's got everything. It's got fast food. It's got crazy Florida man, and it's got alligators.
So then, Joel and Phil, were you guys friends before this? I know you both are transplants to Florida, but tell me how the podcast came about.
It was Joel's idea. He approached me with it. I do not listen. My work does not work well with sitting listening to podcasts. So I have listened to podcasts when they first got big and the concept first started rolling out. I was a huge listener of three or four tech ones. And then he approached me one day with it and asked me if I want to do it. And I was like, I didn't know what to expect. I knew the concept. I knew a little bit about it. We had a couple mics. I had a little studio. Like, sure, we'll give it a shot. First couple times we did it, it was, you know, we were making it up as we went along. Didn't know what we were doing. And friends started approaching us. It's like, dude, I love the podcast. Y'all got to keep doing this. I'm like, you listen to that shit? He's like, yeah. All right. Well, then when it started getting more popular, we started getting emails, and then people just started getting on the band. And then it's like, all right, this is real then. So we upped our game on our equipment and our quality, and took us a couple months to get all the kinks worked out from a production standpoint. But Joel does a great job with the he does all the editing and things. I basically just provide the equipment and show up and drink Tito's and read the stories.
Yeah, and I came up with the idea basically because I've wanted to do a podcast for a long time, and just I never really had the subject matter that I knew wouldn't pod fade after a couple months. And then I saw a couple Florida Man stories right in a row, and I thought to myself, you know, that trend ain't going away.
We have plenty of material.
Yeah, and honestly, it's grown since we started. There's the first few episodes we did four stories an episode, and then we switched to six because we just couldn't keep up with all the crazy stuff that happens in Florida.
And then that's expanded out even now. We ask our listeners to email us in crazy stories from their parts of the country, and we get stories from all over the world of stupid Florida man like things that are happening in, we've had, what, Germany?
Yeah, Saxony man is Germany's equivalent of Florida.
Right,
man.
We've had Germany, we've had all over the United States, and so it's not only is it turned into a phenomenon of just Florida man, it's the stupid people that, and arrest stories and things that happen in other parts of the world and other parts of the country as well.
So you could say Florida man is in this all, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just called different things. See, when I grew up in Mississippi, we just called them rednecks. So here, they're just called different things.
Yeah, Florida man isn't a person. It's a state of mind.
Mm, profound, but also true. But how would you describe the podcast? I know you have kind of a descriptor on your website talking about it, part comedy, part true crime, all weird. Tell me about the description. Kind of just maybe reiterate that description for our listeners.
You know, I actually made the statement the other day, and I was incorrect. I said, because we were talking about as far as the within the rank different categories and what genre we fit into, you know, the obviously comedy, but then there's the true crime piece of it. I said, Joe, we're not true crime. He said, yes, we are. Everything that we record that we do basically involves an arrest. Yeah, good point. Didn't think of it that way. So it is. It's kind of morphed across a couple different genres, but it's of where we actually fit. But which is fine. But it is most of what in the stories that we do are. Because it's that's where we get a lot of the sources from, is from the from the news feeds, from the media outlets and different websites and things like that that revolve around arrest statements.
The Polk County Sheriff's Office arrest website is a very bountiful source for us.
Oh yeah.
So you guys are kind of really referencing the heart of the whole Florida man thing, which is the sunshine laws in Florida, which are just really great compared to other states like South Carolina. We can't get as much information from police reports as you all do. I mean, are you aware that that's really kind of a big driving force behind getting all this information out there, and then of course leading to the stories that, you know, lead to your podcasts?
Absolutely. I think personally my theory is that there's three things that contribute to the Florida man phenomenon. Number one is our sunshine law, which requires that records be open and arrest reports are available to basically the general public. Number two is it's hot. It is like 96 degrees out today, and it is 98% humidity, and you just can't think right when you're that hot. And you can walk from your front door to your car in the driveway, and you'll be just soaking wet with sweat, and that just aggravates anybody. And then the third thing is everybody who lives here, well, not everybody, but the majority of adults in the state of Florida were not born and raised in Florida. They came from somewhere else. So we basically have a bunch of people who are running from something, myself included, Phil included. We're both from other states, and we're just everybody in who is a Florida transplant. They're running from something, and it might be, you know, the cold weather like myself, or it could be they're running from the law or some weird situation that they got themselves into, and they're really the common denominator. They're the reason they're running from where they're from, and they show up here and they become Florida man or woman.
And I was going to say, you know, you kind of laid out, you know, it's part FOIA, part heat, part transplant. But when we look at the Florida man or woman in themselves, is there any quintessential common denominator? Do they have to be arrested, or does it just have to be a pretty wild story, essentially, for it to become another piece of this lore, essentially?
No, but most of it is, you know, is around the arrest piece of it. But certainly doesn't require it. There's, you know, we've asked for people to give us story, to give us commentary and things of stupid things they've done. But honestly, most of it does come through in some type of a crime that's been committed or an arrest report that's been filed or something like that. That is where the majority of it comes from.
That's just the low-hanging fruit. That makes my job easier when the story is like that.
I hear you. I mean, and it's also a case that, you know, at any moment, you know, anywhere, essentially, you can become one of these people, too. Not that you're going to bring an alligator to a Wendy's, essentially, but you could be caught up in something after a late night or something like that. You know, any of these things can happen and then end up becoming one of these people, too. So it is a reality, and that's, I guess, something you guys are conscious about as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't. We were conscious. I wouldn't call it a... so that we revive, our life revolves around it, if you know. But it is absolutely is it's something to, you know, to it for me especially. It's is once you know, you're really careful with the stories, with the context. It is a matter of public record, but when you get into issues that stories and things and crimes and stuff that happens around children, underage adults, then yeah, there's a line there.
And Phil and I wouldn't be caught dead in a Wendy's. We would throw an alligator into a Popeyes.
I like Wendy's. Baconators rule, dude. Come on. I love freaking Wendy's.
And AT, my producer, just had a good question too. He said, you know, if everywhere had such great FOIA laws and sunshine laws like Florida does, where would you think the craziest stories would come from, or would they still be coming from Florida?
California.
You think so?
Of all the people I've met from all the way around the country, yeah, California, definitely.
I agree. Now, I grew up in the South, so there's in southern Mississippi. The difference is the acceptance of it in the context of your friends, or not your friends, but the crowd. You know, here, hold my beer, watch this. You know, that may be absolutely nothing, you know, in one part of the state, you know, or the country. And in Florida, you got 50 phones out. It's like, oh, you're going to be on Florida Man. You know, you're going to be on TV, or you're going to be on a news story. So it depends on the culture within the individual aspects of the region of the country, as it, you know, kind of within that stigma piece of it.
I grew up in Michigan, and the Upper Peninsula, those people are definitely Florida Men category.
No, it's everywhere, man. It's really everywhere. It is everywhere, and it's just because of the laws here, and because of the so many of the stories show up in the press and in the news feeds and with internet and things. It's everywhere, but it's concentrated here. I think a lot of it, the majority of it, has to do with the laws, because this stuff goes on all over the country. It's just more publicized here, but a lot of it has to do with the sunshine laws.
Did you wake up one morning? I know you guys, you know, Joel, you moved there in 94. Phil, you got there in 2012. Obviously, you could say the minute you get there, you become a technical Florida man. But was there a moment when either of you, maybe both can talk about this individually, when you woke up and thought, oh, my God, here I am. I've become this Florida person, this Florida man. Maybe not to the extent, again, throwing an alligator at a Wendy's, but maybe something small or something interesting, your Florida man moment, perhaps.
Yeah, when the sun went down and it was still 84 degrees outside, and I wanted to put on a hoodie because I was cold.
Well, see, Joel wimped out, so I'll give you the answer you're looking for is, oh, hell yeah. So because it is within, one of the things is I grew up as in outdoors. I grew up with my dad and you know, hunting, fishing, and different things. You know, I grew up outdoors. The terrain and everything in Florida is flat. And there's, you know, water and swamp and every, so you have to invent things to somewhat get out and kind of get your redneck on. So yeah, I've done that was when you know, when you sink the Jeep up in mud, you know, 5 feet deep, and and you're proud of it. Yeah, I'm Florida man now.
You get that badge.
How dirty can we get? Let's go. Get the guns out. We're going to go shoot something, and let's go. Let's go target practice and drive the Jeeps, and let's go mudding. And yeah, oh yeah.
At the heart of Florida Man is the state's beautiful open records law. Every state has Freedom of Information Act laws, and some, Florida, are better than others, South Carolina. And it's not just the Sunshine State because of the blistering heat, but for journalists, it's one of the best states for open record laws.
I'm Bill Rogers. I'm executive director of the South Carolina Press Association, and we're an advocate for open government in South Carolina.
We caught up with Bill Rogers to tell us more about FOIA.
The FOIA does two things. One, it assures you the public right to go to meetings and hear what's the discussion of public business. So the notice of and attendance at meetings. The second thing is access to public records, and that's very broad. Any record, whether it be in film, computer, whatever format, if the public body owns it, has it in its possession, or has created it, the public has a right to see it. The public pays these guys salaries. We've got a right to see what they're doing. The biggest problem we have is that it costs so much to file an FOIA suit. There is no way the average public, and now as newspapers and broadcast entities have seen tightening of their budgets, very few newspapers have the ability to sue anymore. And so the public officials realize this and do what the heck they want to do. They just say, no, you can sue me. And then nobody can sue them. And the average person, you know, it's going to cost $6,000 probably to file a suit. And that's a good price. The Florida law is the sunshine law. And sunshine is a great disinfectant of a lot of things, including government corruption. They're probably an A, and we're probably a B or a B plus. We've got some major holes, and they've got some holes, not as many as we do, but access to police information is becoming increasingly hard, which is what the Florida man does. They get these crime reports about Florida man does this or Florida man does that. But in South Carolina, we find more and more evidences of excessive redaction, where the police just redact almost everything. They have a whole page report and only four lines of it are visible. That's a problem.
The South Carolina Press Association and other advocates continue to back legislation to expand FOIA laws in South Carolina, but making big changes have been difficult.
A special Florida Man episode deserves a special Florida Man Did You Know trivia from our summer school Dean Emeritus and certified South Carolina man, Russ McKinney. Ahoy, Russ.
Well, that was quite an intro.
Well, you know, you deserve it. What do you
mean? The only Florida men I know of are Tiger Woods, Steve Spurrier. I guess that's it.
The important ones. Well, what is your trivia as we explore the wonderful Sunshine State?
Well, speaking of the Sunshine State, did you know that the original capital of Florida was in present-day South Carolina?
I thought you were going to say it. I couldn't believe that. I can't believe this already.
Okay.
All these capitals in South Carolina.
Now, of course, we're talking about Spanish Florida, and we're talking about in the 16th century, pretty much in the 1560s. But the first capital of Florida is in present-day South Carolina.
Back when all the maps were just one giant landmass, and there were no rules, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. So where was that capital of Florida? A, Santa Clara. B, Santa Elena. C, St. Helena. D, Yemassee.
You said the capital was
the
in
first,
South... I mean,
the first capital of Florida. And then we're talking about Spanish Florida. Santa Clara, Santa Elena, St. Helena, Yemassee.
I want to say Yemassee just because it's... I mean, there's so much of that, and I know Yemassee is South Carolina based, but if we're including South Carolina in all this nonsense, and then there's so many different, you know, Seminole Indian names for so many different things down in Florida too. So I'm gonna say Yemassee.
Okay. Well, the correct answer is Santa Elena.
Spanish.
The first.
Yeah.
Oh, brother! This guy stinks.
Yes, okay, of course we're going to, like, go for these, like, okay, obvious answers, but then there's always, like, the Russ McKinney answer, which is, like, duh, it's Yemassee.
Santa Elena is pretty much where Paris Island in Beaufort County is today, although that entire area of the Port Royal Sound, St. Helena Sound, was kind of referred to at times as Santa Elena, but pretty much in where Paris Island is today. And it was a true thriving community for over 10 years. About 400 to 500 people, Spaniards, lived there. They had a fort. They had a Catholic church. They had a lot of kind of run-ins, for lack of a better term, with English, Native Americans, and some French. So after about 10 years or so, they moved it to St. Augustine.
Well, thank you from our South Carolina man, Russ McKinney, for that insightful trivia. So now that we got all this information, these facts, these hard figures, we wanted to check out some of the action in Orlando because this place is a giant tourist trap, and we didn't want to go to the Mouse's House or to some castle to learn about a kid's journey through magical high school. Don't at me, I read them all, I get it, save your butterbeer tears for someone else. So where else could we go?
Hey Gavin, you see this on the map?
Oh! Gatorland!
Gatorland!
Gatorland! Gatorland! Gatorland!
Gatorland.
Gatorland.
What's the differences? I mean, we all like, see the gators.
This is three different shows, 48 exhibits, petting zoo, bird eatery, two nature walks, and the kids' splash pack. If you got that package, you would have got to sit on one, feed them, and ride the train. Like all the gators and shows you can walk to. Okay, honey?
All right. We said we don't want to go to Disney World. We want to see some alligators.
Yeah, this is the place. There's 1,200 of them behind, or 2,369 crocs. Have a blessed day.
Sitting on an alligator. Incredible. A live gator. Not a mouse with a house, but a gator with a bunch of teeth. Surely we could find the true essence, the distillation of Florida Man at Gatorland. Somewhere we thought would be just the truest home to the idea of Florida Man. This has to be the place. We just know it has to be the place. They tell me it's the best way to spend a half day here. And to our dissatisfaction, this place was pretty tame. Yes, there were crocs, gators, and sassy birds, but it was normal, dare I say. It was a tourist trap we fell headfirst into, and it really was the best way to spend half a day in this blistering hot swamp. Well, like they always say, don't meet your heroes, kid. So Florida is just another place filled with people. It's really just like anywhere else. And like it's been said, there's a little bit of Florida Man in each of us. In the end, we became temporary Florida men, if only for a week. Now, we didn't punt a rabid coyote, lick a doorbell, find any reptiles in our toilet, or shampoo someone's roof in the rain dressed as Spider-Man. But while we were there, that possibility was in each of us. The South Carolina Lead is one of many ways SCETV wants to help keep you informed. Check out the latest news and live streams on SCETV.org. Listen to coverage from South Carolina Public Radio and watch This Week in South Carolina, a show where I talk with the newsmakers of the week on SCETV, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. All of that, this podcast, and more is available on SCETV's super easy-to-use app and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Subscribe to us, and we'll have a new episode for you every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts. Search us easily on your Android app or the NPR One app. Also, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, just like friend of the pod, Ananda EC 11982. Is that a screen name? Holler. Follow us on Instagram at SCLeadPod, and you can see photos from the studio, on assignment, where we tape the podcast, like this closet I'm in right now, and of course, our dank memes. We're also on Twitter with the same handle, at SCLeadPod. We have swag, sticker swag that is. Send us a direct message on Twitter or Instagram with your address, and we'll send one your way. Email questions, comments, or your gripes to scled@scetv.org. The South Carolina Lead is produced in partnership with South Carolina ETV, South Carolina Public Radio, and a special thanks to Brian Jacoby Wilder, the Florida Men Podcast. Check those guys out and give them a subscribe, y'all. Bill Rogers, and my dad. Sorry we just didn't have any room for you in the podcast, Dad. Next time. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Sean Birch is our supervising producer. Tom Posey is our executive producer. Kaylin Shire is our on-location set designer. This episode was recorded and produced in the closet of this hotel room here in Orlando, Florida on August 15th, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. Thanks for listening.
Secret message. Ponce de Leon found the Fountain of Youth and changed his name to Keanu Reeves.